This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, continuing our journey with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but starting a new chapter of discussion about certain verses inside the Quran. Because for some of us, or maybe many of us, we won't be able to read a whole complete tafsir of the Quran inside our lives. Some of us, may Allah forbid, may not even read a whole surah, a tafsir, a complete surah inside our lives, even though that should be the aspiration that we should be developing inside our lives, that what we discuss and we speak about makes targhib, encourage us to go and read works of tafsir and try to understand the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we try to come down maybe an easier level to look at certain verses inside the Quran, or juz min al-ayat, or look at certain sections of verses inside the Quran that some of us, or many of us, are familiar with these verses, or with this verse, or aspects of these verses, that we may listen to them in different muhadarat, in different sermons, or different leading of prayers, that we find that these key ayat that begin to come into play time and time again. And these ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are powerful ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the whole of the Quran is powerful. That we find in the hadith, وَلَا تَنْقَضِي أَجَاعِبُهُ, that the ajaib, the strange, wonderful things of the Quran, never come to an end. In the Mustadrak of Imam al-Hakim, and likewise, I'm not mistaken, Sunnah Imam Tirmidhi. Even we never had enough time to go and check the full authenticity of this hadith, but the meaning is true. That the ajaib, the strange affairs of the Quran, the wondrous things to marvel and to wonder about the Quran, they don't finish. The Quran, لا ساحل له, it has no ending, it has no shore, it has no depth, it has no bottom, it continues. That's why people speak about, ulama spoke about Jawharul Quran, the jewels, the gems of the Quran, the deep penetration of the Quran, it continues. The more a person reads and reflects on the Quran, even the Quran itself, when it speaks about certain things, Sad, wal Quran in the dhikr, the letter Sad that we find inside the 38th chapter of the Quran, Allah then speaks about the Quran as a form of dhikr. Then it mentions that these individuals, that these disbelieving individuals, that they marvel about the Quran. وَعَجِبُ أَنْ جَاءَ مُنْذِرٌ مِّنْهُمْ وَقَالَ الْكَافِرُونَ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سَاحِرٌ مُّبِينٌ, that they marvel about the Quran. They marvel about the messenger, or they try to reject the messenger. This is something strange. Even though know that the message is something close to them, and the Quran is something to be marveled about, because it breaks their laws of semantics, of linguistics, of poetry. It broke it. So they know this is something ajib, goes beyond their parameters of their understanding of linguistics and language. Another place of Quran, Allah mentioned Qaf wal Quran al Majid, the 50th chapter of the Quran. And the strange thing is, many of these haruf al muqatta'at, every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Quran, if you study a great detail, every time except for two places inside the Quran, inside Surah Al-Ankabut and Surah Al-Rum, the 29th and the 30th chapter of the Quran, Allah uses these broken letters, Alif, Lam, Mim, but doesn't speak about the Quran. Even the message of the Quran is ayat of Quran are inside there, signs of the Quran inside these two surahs. Even Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ain, Sad, Surah Maryam, even though it doesn't directly begin with the Quran, but it speaks about the dhikr of Zakariya, the remembrance of Zakariya inside this book, which is referring to the Quran. So these haruf, these letters, as we mentioned many times, have a deep meaning of challenging haruf al-tahaddi, challenging the Arabs, challenging the Bedouins, who are masters at their craftsmanship of linguistics, that this is the Quran taken from these letters that you are familiar with. Ponder over this Quran, Qaf al-Quran al-Majid, بَلْ عَجِبُوا أَنْ جَاءُ مُنْدِرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَقَالَ الْكَافِرُونَ إِنْ هَذَا شَيْءٌ عَجِيبٌ فَقَالَ الْكَافِرُونَ. This occasion, the disbelievers say, this is something strange, that this messenger is somebody strange. The message coming is something strange. And the strange thing about this surah, Surah Qaf, the 50th chapter of the Quran, that at the end of this surah, Allah mentions, وَذَكِّرْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مَنْ يَخَافُ وَعِيدٌ, remind the people with the Quran, whoever fears that the punishment, or fears the return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this surah is a side point. If you look at this surah, the main thrust of this surah is about the return to Allah, is about Jannah wa Nar. And even the prelude to that is what? وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدٌ. This is sakratul maut, the pangs of death, the stupor of death, the coming of death. The pangs of death came. This is what you're trying to avoid. You're trying to run away from. وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ. And then the blowing of the trumpet will take place. Then again, that they will come, everybody we drove. We drove forth with the angels who were bringing them forth on that day. Where's the escape going to be? يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمَ هَلْ امْتَلَأْتِ وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ. When it said to Jahannam, we said, is there more? Jahannam will speak. Is there more to come? More that I can chew, I can burn away. That's why most of people, most of mankind, unfortunately, are going to the hellfire. فَمَصِيرُهُمْ إِلَى النَّارِ. That's the end destination. That's why inside this surah, these ayat, we're here for a purpose. We have to understand what our purpose is, especially where we're living, in the environment we're living in. Especially all of us, we're going to be asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whilst living inside this environment, what are we doing? What are we doing about the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because the image that the wider world or the society around us is the image what we portray. If we don't fulfill the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't hold fast to its traits, its characteristics, its belief, what it tells us to do. There's no point being a symbolic Muslim. That if we lie, we cheat, we commit zina, we drink alcohol, we take riba, we do all types of haram things. Yes, at the end of the day, we will go to paradise. There's no doubt about that. That Muslim will eventually go. But the point is that the enticement towards the wider world, they say there's no difference between us and you. You do exactly the same things that we do inside our lives. So what's so special about your faith? What is special about your faith? What is special about our faith is the Quran. It moves us. It leads us to ta'ah. It leads us to obedience. It's hablullah al-mateen. It's a strong rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever holds fast, it takes them out. That's what Quran describes itself, or describes the messenger, describes Islam as taking people out of the realms of darknesses to the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we chose and we selected some of these ayat, that some of us may find it strange that why certain ayat inside the Quran? Even our mother Aisha, she narrates, speaking about the Prophet alayhi sallam, قام النبي عليه الصلاة بآيةٍ يرددها من القرآن كل ليلة أو طول الليلة. And so Imam Tirmidhi, that you find, he would take one verse and he recite it all through the night, the same verse. And some of the ulama conclude that the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah, that we find, إن تعذبهم فإنهم عبادك وإن تغفر لهم فإنك أنت العزيز الحكيم. He repeated it repetitively all through the night. إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ. If you punish them, they're your servants. We're not here to punish people. We're not here to condemn people. We're not here to send people to the hellfire. That's what some of us think. That this is the main goal of a preacher or a Muslim, is to condemn people. The Prophet is standing all night praying, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ. If you punish them, they're your servants. They're your servants. وَإِنْ تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. If you pardon and forgive them, you are al-aziz, the mighty, the powerful, al-hakim, the wise. He continuously repeated this throughout the night. Look at the maqam of Badr. When he stood there and he's praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, imploring, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if you let us be destroyed today, you don't give us victory today, there's nobody who's going to be calling upon you in the face of this earth. And his mantle, his burda, it drops from his shoulders. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq comes and he lifts up the burda, the mantle, and places it back and said that Allah will respond to you. Gives him that reassurance. You know, that was his close friend. That's what close friends are there for, give you that reassurance that even if you slip, you fall, you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're there to encourage you. Because kullu bani Adam khata wa khayru khata'ina tawwabun. All of the sons of Adam will err, will sin, make mistakes, go astray, get lost, get derailed, lose the path. Oh, that will happen to all of us at any moment in life. We shouldn't become so full of ourselves. But the best of those individuals are tawwabun, those who repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what Allah mentioned. Inna Allah yuhibbu tawwabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin. Allah loves those people who make tawbah to Him. And those who purify themselves. That's what ulama said. External purity. External cleanliness, and internal. Purify your external self. Purify your internal self. All this is what a person needs to purify inside their lives to gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is also based upon, as we mentioned from Surah Muhammad, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ Why don't they ponder over the Quran? Quran has been there to reflect, to ponder upon. That's why ulama said tadabbur is more specific. It's more on a higher level than this tafakkur. Just to reflect. Tadabbur is a deep penetration. Mentions Imam Asal Basri mentioned tadabbur is to tabiq, is to implement the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah twice inside the Quran mentioned, Afala yatadabbarun al Quran. As you mentioned at Surah Muhammad, the 47th chapter of Quran. Afala yatadabbarun al Quran? Am ala qulubin aqfaluha? Is there shackles? Is there chains placed upon their hearts, preventing them from the Quran penetrating into them? When we sin, we disobey Allah, the penetration of the Quran, it weakens. It weakens away from us. It doesn't penetrate us so much, the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why do some people, they weep over the Quran? That doesn't take away their manhood. The Prophet in Sunan Abi Dawood, that you could hear a crackling sound from his chest when he recited the Quran. A weeping sound would emanate from his blessed chest. Abu Bakr would weep so much. They couldn't decipher what he was saying. Umar al-Khattab was a strong individual. You find a hadith that shaitan would cross the road if he was walking one path, but he would weep so much over the Quran. Uthman would weep, seeing the grave. That's the impact of the Quran upon these great personalities. It doesn't take anything away from their manhood. That's what the Quran does. Quran softens the heart, softens the mind, softens the individual. Not everything in life is harsh and tough and hard. That's part of belief. That's part of the Quran coming into our hearts. It softens the individual, softens their concern towards people around them. And then other places inside the Quran, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ غَيْرِ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Inside Surah An-Nisa. Why don't they ponder over the Quran? If this was from other than Allah, they would have found inside this book many discrepancies, many mistakes, many fallacies. But there isn't. They've been studying the Quran right from the Quraysh, studied from the Quran at that moment, from the beginning to the end of the last of the Quraysh at that moment. They couldn't find a single harf. They couldn't find a single letter to discredit the Quran as we began with. They were masters in their science. Rather, many of them, if you read through the seerah of some of them, they used to listen to the Quran. Lamma kanu kuffar, when they were disbelieving individuals, they used to listen to the Quran. Wa inna lahu halawa. Quran has this halawa, this sweetness, this fragrance, this awakening. So even istima'ul Quran, even listening to the Quran, it refreshes the soul. It refreshes the mind. It awakens the soul. It awakens the soul, that yearning. It brings the person closer. And then comes the concept of, as we mentioned, tadabbur, that these certain ayat, we reflect upon them. Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarakun liyadabbaru ayatihi wa liyatadakkara ulul albab. Kitabun mubarakun. We said that in this blessed book, liyadabbaru, once again, tadbirul ayat, to make tadabbur, to reflect, to contemplate, to think. And after that pondering and that thinking, what does a person then think? Now's the time to enact, to carry out these actions of the Quran. Not as many of us Muslims that we leave it to another moment in time. You know, that may have been for those individuals that they had this tadarruj, this gradual stages of build-up inside their lives. Or maybe a non-Muslim who enters into Islam, that we can turn a blind eye to certain things about them. But why are we as Muslims trying to make this excuse? Why are we making this excuse or saying we're living in a Makkan phase? We're living in the first 13 years, so we need to gradually develop ourselves. We've had 1,444 years to gradually develop ourselves. 1,444 years to gradually develop ourselves. And we're still trying to understand what should we be doing? Is this still really haram now? Should it be haram now? Should I really be praying 5 times a day? Should I really be doing this inside my life? We've had 1,444 years and we're still trying to contemplate. غير معقول. It doesn't make sense. That we're still trying to understand whether riba is halal or haram. Still having discussions about it, what we should conclude about it. And we can see the detrimental effects of these vices and these sins. These are major corruptions inside our society. And we can see the impact of that inside our lives, inside the society and the world around us. So today's ayah that we want to focus upon inside, or before that, Ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned About man arada, man tadabbara al-Qur'an taliban al-huda. Mean whoever studies the Qur'an or comes to the Qur'an and wants guidance from it, tabayyana tariq al-haq. Then the path of reality will be exposed to that individual. So if you come to the Qur'an searching for guidance, as the Qur'an mentions, begins with hudan. Hudan lil-muttaqin, guidance. Bima'na, whoever seeks the guidance, whoever wants the guidance. I didn't say hudan lil-muslimin or lil-mu'mineen. Allah said lil-muttaqin, those who go that extra effort, who want that nur, who want that guidance. They go and they try to search for it. They try to decipher from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how to find that guidance, how to remain steadfast. And that's in today's verse in Surah Ali Imran, the third chapter, verse number 31. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. This ayah of claim. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ. Say that if you claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what should we do inside our lives? فَاتَّبِعُونِي, follow the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. That's why if we even look at the siyaq, the context of these ayat, just to help us to understand, because the Qur'an is unique. As you mentioned, that every harf, every letter is placed there for a reason. That's why many ulama, they spend their lifespan. Imam Suyuti spent his life trying to decipher the Qur'an, whether it be his works of tafsir, of Jalalain that we find, or his works of Ad-Durr al-Manthur, or his collection trying to understand siyaq al-ayat inside the Qur'an. Or Imam al-Baqa'i, 8 volumes of trying to understand Nazm al-Durr, trying to understand the relationship between various verses of the Quran, various surahs inside the Quran. Because there's a deep science. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't move from one topic to another topic, or one word to another word, except for there's a deep, profound reason for that. Whoever understands it, understands it. Whoever doesn't, they've lost the understanding. So prior to this, or before this, we find a general siyaq of these verses is placed inside Surah Ali Imran. Primarily a Medinan surah of 200 verses. And the main discussion is about Ahlul Kitab, people of the book. Al-Yahud, Wal-Nasara. The discussion about the Battle of Badr. And numerous ayats speaking about obedience. Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then obedience to the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. So that helps us for a general context of what this surah is speaking about. It's about ta'ah. It's about obedience. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places this profound verse inside this surah. That what is real obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is real love towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then towards his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, we find, Wallahu ra'ufun bil ibad. Prior to this, Allah mentions, Wallahu ra'ufun bil ibad. Allah is merciful, pitiful towards his servants. That's why it was attributed to Ibn Abbas in Tanwirul Miqbas bin Tafsir Ibn Abbas. That some of the ulama collected the statements of Ibn Abbas, he mentions a qabl at-tarheeb, that Allah first warns, thumma tarheeb. This is the general context of the Quran. It warns you something, then it gives you glad tidings. Or it gives you glad tidings, then it warns you. So the previous ayah speak about, وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ. Allah is warning you and telling us that He is, وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. Allah is close to His servants, pitiful, merciful towards His servants. And this ra'uf is one of the titles which is also given, as we're going to come to, given to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And then after Allah mentions, قُلْ أَطِيُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ. Say, obey Allah and the Messenger. If you turn away, then Allah does not like the ungrateful or the disbelieving individuals. وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. Allah is merciful towards His servants. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conferred this blessing upon His servants. Inside the same surah Ali Imran, Allah mentions, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Amongst the most ultimate favors that Allah conferred upon the believers after Islam is what? Is the sending of the messenger. Is one of the ultimate blessings upon this Muslim ummah. Upon us that He sent the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That's why even inside Surah Imran, there's so many ayats speaking about the messenger. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِ الرُّسُلِ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَدُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Who is Muhammad except for a messenger of Allah? Many messengers came before him. And if he is to be killed, or if he is to be slain, are you going to turn back on your heels? As if this ayah is giving an ishara that it's not just about following the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. We're not Muhammadans. There's something far superior than that. Your obedience to the messenger is based upon what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to do. How to obey him. So even the messenger, if he's taken out the picture, the obedience is primarily to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is what this verse is trying to highlight. And then comes the obedience to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And as Allah mentions at the end of Surah At-Tawbah, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. That's the end of Surah At-Tawbah. Descriptions of the Prophet alayhi salam. He's Ra'uf, Rahim, merciful, pitiful, kind, generous, overlooking, worried. Where are we from these sifat in our life? Where are we from these characteristics of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? And he's in a side point. Read the in works of Ulum al-Quran of the collection of this verse. How this verse was collected or placed inside the compilation of Mus'haf of the Quran that we have at the moment. Where only one companion had this verse at that moment in time. But because the Prophet has mentioned that this companion, his testimony is equal to two individuals. So they accepted this narration and placed this in the final verse towards the end of Surah At-Tawbah that we find. قُلْ أَطِيُوا اللَّهُ وَالرَّسُولُ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّ اللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ. The following verse Allah speaks, gives his commandment, obey Allah and the messenger. If you turn away, Allah doesn't like the disbelieving individuals. You know how many times inside the Quran does Allah mention أَطِيُوا اللَّهُ وَأَطِيُوا الرَّسُولُ. Some 30 odd occasions inside the Quran Allah mentions this. Different wordings, different formats. Even though inside this surah Ali Imran, this is the only time Allah mentions قُلْ أَطِيُوا اللَّهُ وَالرَّسُولُ. It's specifically mentioned without the word with the word وَأَطِيعُوا. It's the only time mentioned inside Surah Ali Imran. And also the benefit of following or belief of ta'a li rasul. Allah mentions inside this surah وَأَطِيُوا اللَّهُ وَالرَّسُولُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the messenger, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. That you may find mercy, peace, contentment inside your life in obeying the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So as we mentioned, replete, the Quran is replete with ayat. Obey Allah, obey the messenger. Surah An-Nisa has so many verses. So many verses about obeying Allah, then obeying the messenger. Till eventually one place inside Surah An-Nisa, Allah mentions, مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاءَ اللَّهِ. It's so strange the Quran is. That 30 odd occasions is always mentioned, obey Allah, then obey the messenger. But this one occasion, Allah says, مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاءَ اللَّهِ. Whoever obeys the messenger has obeyed Allah. لِمَاذَا? Why? Why is Allah proceeding, placing the Prophet before himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because giving him this rank. لِأَنَّهُ فِي مَقَامِ التَّشْرِيعِ. He's in a position of legislation by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, allowed him. That he doesn't speak. وَمَا يَمْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He doesn't speak from his own desires. Whatever he says is divine revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why inside Surah An-Nisa Allah mentioned, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Four ta'kidat. Four oaths Allah makes inside this ayah. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Nay, by your Lord, they will never ever believe. Until they don't take you as a judge in the disputes that take place amongst themselves. It's not just enough to accept. You know, some people may tacitly say, oh, fair enough, that's the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, or make some comment. What does the verse say? ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ. They find no rancor, no ill feeling. That's it, finish. No niqash. If this is the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, if I can't do it inside my life, but it is a sunnah that's established. May Allah grant me the tawfiq to establish many of the sunnah that we've missed inside our lives, every day and every night inside our lives. That's what we should be imploring for, asking for. Not to have this feeling that, oh, well, if it's a sunnah then? To have these such derogatory terminologies, that it's only sunnah. What do you mean by it's only sunnah? You know, you're by default, you're saying things about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Because there's only certain things which is only sunnah, which is a technical study at certain moments that technically we can use such phrases and terminology. But this isn't for the awam, this isn't for the layman to use such words. Oh, it's only a sunnah. Is it really applicable in the 21st world that we live in at the moment? Even if it's not applicable, it is a practice of the Prophet ﷺ which could be to the level of something which is fard, which is an obligation, which is recommended, which is highly recommended, which is praiseworthy, which is something he carried out inside his life. So just like we have icons and beacons that the world around them, that they imitate everything around them, we should try to imitate the Prophet ﷺ. That's what we're trying to do. So even if it's just a sunnah, you're imitating the best of creation, the best of the prophets, the best of the messengers, none other than the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So we find that then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sabab al-nuzul, Imam Tabari begins to have a long discussion of what the reason of sending down of this verse. Various reasons are given, which are all plausible. Whether it be there were certain Muslims who made this claim that they have love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Imam al-Wahidi in his works, Asbab al-Nuzul, Reason and Revelation, calls this verse Ayatul Ikhtibar, Ayatul Imtihan, the ayah to test your faith. This is the ayah to test your faith, that if you really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the test. Other Imam Tabari also narrates, this is a verse that was sent down regarding the Jews and the Christians, because they make this claim. That's why you find that Surah Al-Ma'idah, وَقَالَ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَحِبَّاءُ. The Jews and Christians make this claim, we are the chosen children of God, and we're loved by God. That's what it is. That's why if you really study their belief, that's why the Christians, that's why they do what they're doing. Because for them, Jesus died for our sins. God died for our sins. كَلَّا وَحَاشَا. That's what their creed is. So I can indirectly do whatever I want to do because Jesus takes the blame. He carries the blame for my sins that I do inside my life. And as we mentioned many times, I know it sounds very, very harsh, but some of us Muslims, we're going equally towards that path. That for some reason we think that the Prophet ﷺ died for our sins. That's what some Muslims, unfortunately, that literally what they think, that I do whatever I want to do, as long as I utter his name, as long as I'm from his ummah, I'm from his nation, I'm going to be forgiven. And we said there is a small percentage of a chance that could happen. A very small, minute percentage that intercession could be given. But that's not what Islam is. It's not based upon minute percentages that I could be that 1%. I could be that one individual that Allah decides to just pluck out of the hellfire and throw into paradise. Or I could be that one individual Prophet intercedes for me. That's not what real faith is. Because he even said to his own daughter Fatima, that ask me now in this dunya whatever you want. Ask me whatever you want now whilst I'm living. As for the day of judgment, I can't do anything for you. That's Fatima, his own daughter, radiallahu ta'ala, and four of his daughters, three of them died in his life. Three of them died whilst he was living. Imagine that as a man, psychologically, to bear that. Three daughters die, wife dies, uncle dies, grandfather dies, orphan, mother dies, father's died even before his birth. Look at all his psychological development. But yet we find psychologically he is the most strongest personality. He's the most strongest personality after so many afflictions. Maybe those afflictions are to teach us as human beings, to awaken us that there's so much the mind can bear. There's so much the mind can bear. The shoulders can handle if it's tuned in the right direction. You know, we can climb mountains. We can conquer nations and tribes and people if the mindset is there. Now that's the difference, that they suffer like you suffer. وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. But what you strive for is far more than what they strive for. It's that inner commitment towards the sunnah and the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ that we find. So possibly this reason's verse is sent regarding these individuals who made that claim. And a strange thing inside Surah Al-Ma'idah, once again, speak about Ahlul Kitab. Speak about the Christians, that some of these individuals, وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ ترى أعينهم تفيد من الدمع مما عرفوا من الحق. You know, some of the Christians, when they hear the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their eyes begin to shed tears. مما عرفوا من الحق, because they know this is the truth. You know, as we began with, what are we doing on this world? What are we doing in our environment? We shouldn't be squabbling amongst ourselves. We shouldn't be wasting our efforts and arguing amongst ourselves. We should be arguing, وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي أَحْسَنُ. Don't dispute except with the people of the book. We're surrounded by people of the book. We're surrounded by these people. That's what we should be engaged with, in going out there to preach to these people, to save these people as we began with. You'd rather have them a Muslim and even they're carrying out sins, because there's more chance they're going to go to paradise. If they die in their state of shirk and disbelief, there's only one destination left for them. One single track destination for those individuals. That's what we should be challenging our efforts towards and going towards inside our lives, rather than squabbling amongst ourselves day in and day out. That's what we do. That's what we as Muslims are good for. Just arguing amongst our own selves. Read Imam Shafi'i, even one of his own students, he fell out with him. He rebuked his student. He said, why are you differing with me? Just one thing you differ with me. There's hundreds of things that unite us. There's hundreds of things that we're united upon. He's giving advice to his own student, Imam Shafi'i. There's so many things that unite us and keep us together. And you're splitting away over one thing, making it a big thing. And that's exactly many of us, many things that we differ upon. They're tolerant things inside our society, inside Islam. But we try to profess it, that this is the all end. This is the fine line to see who's the believer, who's the disbeliever. As we began with, we're not here to decipher who's a believer, who's a disbeliever. We're here to decipher that we all are believers. We all are Muslims. That's the default position of every single Muslim. Leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to judge what type of Muslim that they are. And to ask them on the day of judgment, which obviously won't be asked. Others, ulama said, referring to Wafd Najran, a delegate of the Christians, they came and they claimed this love that they had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Isa alayhi salam. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending down this verse telling them, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. Say to them, Ya ayyur Rasul, in Tafsir al-Muyassar, say, Ya ayyur Rasul, قُلْ لَهُمْ. Say to them, say to these individuals that if you claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this claim that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, follow the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. That's why Ibn Kathir mentions, أَنَّ هَذِي الْآيَةَ حَاكِمَةً. This is an evidence, a proof of evidence for those individuals. عَلَى كُلِّ مَنْ دَعَى مَحَبَّةَ اللَّهِ. For every individual who claims love of Allah. This is a defining sword. That if you really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the way to test your iman. Because if you're not following the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, you're not following his commandments, his prohibitions, فَأَنْتَ كَاذِبٌ فِي دَعْوَتِكَ. You're a liar in your call. That's what Ibn Kathir, paraphrasing words, he mentions. You're a liar in your call. So you can't say that you love Allah. You can't say you love the Messenger. And you're not trying to follow his life. It's just an empty claim. That's why Imam Sa'd inside his tafsir mentioned that this is the ayah using Jami'ul Khalq. This is the ayah to weigh mankind. To weigh us, this is the scale to judge, to see that who is really loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they obey the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. And likewise, you find Imam Sa'di also mentions that this ayah is wujub mahabbat Allah. This ayah to show that the importance of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa alamatuha, wa thamuratuha, wa fuwa'iduha. The fruits of this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The signs of this love. The blessings of this love are given to these individuals. As Ibn Kathir mentioned, that when these people made this claim, فَابْتَلَاهُمُ اللَّهُ بِهَذِي الْآيَةِ. As he mentioned, Imam Al-Hasan Basri said that when people made this claim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to test them, give this examination of sending down this verse upon them. فَاتَّبِعُونِي. So you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is follow the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. How many claim that love? That's why Muhammad Sayyid al-Tantawi inside his tafsir, Inside tafsir 15 volumes, Al-Wasit, who died in the year 2010, he highlights based upon this that this is just laysat da'wa bil lisan. It's not just a call by your tongue just to say, I believe in Allah, I believe in the Messenger, I love the Messenger. That's all it is for many of us. It's just a claim on the tip of our tongues that we make this claim that we love the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Or some people say that faith is love. Allah loves. This concept of tasawwuf that we find that Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Allah loves, Allah knows what exists inside my heart. Allah knows me, Allah will judge me. These are all external practices that you do.
that you clerics, you impose upon society of hatta ibadat, even worship. That's like some go to these extremities, that your ibadah is just zahir. Ours is real ibadah. It's within ourselves that we found the oneness with Allah. That's why this da'wah is spreading. That's why even some non-Muslims, why do they come towards these works of Rumi and other people? Because they find this spirituality, even though many times it's just full of kufr and ilhad and wahdatul wujud, pantheism, becoming one with the Creator, becoming one with God, al-ilhad, kash. That's what this belief is, that you become one with the Creator. And Allah huwa al-khaliq. Allah is the Creator. Wa nahnu makhluq. They never intertwine. They never mix. They never come together. Allah is separate from His creation. Laysa kamithli shay wa huwa as-sami'ul basir. So you never become one with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You carry out the commandments that Allah tells you to come at taqarrub ilallah, to come close to Allah, to worship Allah ala basira. So that's what you find, that how it leads towards deviation, corruption, that life is just love. That Islam isn't just love. It's a part of Iman. So is al-khawf, wal-raja, hope and fear and love are all things. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyya discusses these three elements. Like a bird that a person is flocking, is flying in the sky. Certain moments he sways towards love. Certain moments towards fear. That's the life of the believer. That's why a person comes towards the end of their life. They sway towards hope. Because now it's coming to the end of their life. And when a young individual, they sway towards the concept of fear. It's fear what keeps us away from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find, وَهَذَا الدِّينِ إِلَّا الْحُبْ فِي اللَّهِ وَالْبُغْضُ فِي اللَّهِ. Deen is not just love of Allah, as Ibn Kathir mentions, based on numerous narrations, it's also hate for the sake of Allah. You love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you dislike or you hate certain things because Allah dislikes them. Allah tells us to stay away from them. So you dislike those things. That's why you find inside Kitabul Iman, the book of Iman in the beginning of Sahih Muslim, that you find, ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ بِهِنَّ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. Three things, if you find them inside your heart, you found Iman. That's a side point. Just read Kitabul Iman of Sahih Muslim. Just read the opening book. That's enough. And read the Sharh by Imam Nawawi, Rahmatullah Alayh. The chapter speak about what is Halawatul Iman, Dhawqul Iman, the taste of Iman, sweetness of Iman. What is it? You find these three things inside your heart, you found Iman. You love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His Messenger, more than anything else. Likewise, you love a person for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for no other personal reason. You have no personal reason to love that person. And thirdly, you hate to return back to kufr. You hate to return back to kufr. You'd rather be thrown into the hellfire. So that's halawatul iman, that when you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His Messenger, more beloved to you than anything else, that's all that concerns you inside your life. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why, as we mentioned, even those things which could be disliked, that people speak about, something is makruh. What does it mean technically? Technically, it means something which is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something the Prophet ﷺ doesn't like. So you can't just hide behind that. So some people might say smoking is makruh, even though that's not the most strongest view. Let's just take it for linguistic purposes. That smoking is makruh. Linguistically and technically, it means this is something Allah does not like and you're doing it. It's something the Messenger does not like and I'm doing it inside my life. That should be enough. Even though the standing fatwa and the ruling amongst the majority of the ulama, all of them are unanimous, that smoking, shurbud dukhan, tadkhin, huwa al-haram. Smoking is haram. It's detrimental to one's life, one's health, one's property. Let's just ignore about what us Muslims, what we do. It's the text that we should be trying to do inside our lives to avoid these things of disobedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find that Imam Shafi'i, lines of poetry, لَوْ كَانَ حُبُّكَ صَادِقًا لَأَطَعْتُهُ إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. لَوْ كَانَ حُبُّكَ صَادِقًا. If your love was really true, if you really loved someone, then what does the one that you love, what do? You obey them. That's what real love is. لَوْ كَانَ حُبُّكَ صَادِقًا. If your love was really truthful, then you obey the one that you love inside your life. And as you find to show and to live that obedience, that's why Allah mentioned it, فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Follow the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. وَإِنَّ مَحَبَّةُ اللَّهِ تَتَحَقَّقْ بِاتِّبَاعِ الرَّسُولِ. Love of Allah is only guaranteed, only granted. One of the ways, main ways, is vying following the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Inside Surah Al-Araf, Allah highlights clearly, اتَّبِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا مِنْ دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Allah says clearly, follow that which has been sent down upon you. Don't follow other things. Don't follow awliya. Don't follow other people. Follow that which has been sent down upon you. Little it is that you ponder or you reflect regarding this. And that's why Ibn Kathir inside his tafsir, because that's why sometimes people get very emotional. Oh, maybe you're just trying to insert this concept about bid'ah inside society or people practice. No, go back to classical sources. Ibn Kathir inside his tafsir, making tafsir of this verse of Qul in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni. He swings, he goes towards the discussion about what is innovation, or highlights the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa raddun. Whoever does an action that we never done inside our lives, meaning the Prophet ﷺ, fahuwa raddun, as narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha. So whoever does an action, why is Ibn Kathir speaking about that? If people think it's a personal agenda, a personal attack on people who carry out innovations, he's Imam al-Mufassirin in the Jamil Ulama Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. He's a leader of Mufassirin. No matter what ta'ifa, what sect, what madhab, whatever you follow, all the Sunnis agree that the best tafsir of the Quran is the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, Al-Quran al-Azim. So why is he taking a discussion in this verse, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, to follow the Prophet ﷺ, to stay away from innovations, stay away from false practices. Don't derail yourself. Stick to the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Aminu bi zahiran wa batinan. Obey the Prophet in your external affairs and your hidden affairs as well. That's you find a discipline, al-ittiba wal-ibtida'. Discipline following and innovating. Because those who come later on, that's all they're doing. They innovate. They're thinking these are good ways to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's simple teachings. Islam is so simple. Just like as we began with, we're here to tell people to believe in Allah, believe in His Messenger. You don't need to codify people. No, but if you say Shahada, it needs to be 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 15 points and then interpret this manner. Where does it say that? The Prophet said to Mu'adh bin Jabal, go to the people of Yemen, go to Ahlul Kitab, call them to what? To worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they accept that, then let them know that I'm the Messenger of Allah. He said Ali Ibn Abi Talib, he said Hudayfa, he said single companions, sent on places. Did he give a long list of instructions? He gave only 4 or 5 commandments. That's what we should be doing. Simple commandments, simple teachings, giving them to the people. This is what Islam is. These are the 4 or 5 points you need to believe in. And likewise, we find in the Sunnah of the Prophet, it's so simple. We don't need to codify it in the way certain people are codifying it. That's why in the Hadith, we find, Kullu ummati yadkhuluna al-jannah. All of my ummah will go to paradise. Except for whom? Except for illa man abba. Except for one who refuses. Even the companions were startled. Qila wa man ya'ba. How is that plausible? Ya Rasulullah. How is that even plausible? Who's kullu ummati yadkhuluna al-jannah? Hadith inside Sahih Bukhari. All of this ummah will go to paradise. Except for whoever refuses. قِيلَ وَمَنْ يَأْبَى يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Who's going to refuse to go to paradise? قَالَ مَنْ أَطَاعَنِي دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ عَسَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى. Whoever obeys me will go to paradise. Simple. وَمَنْ عَسَانِي. Whoever disobeys me, فَقَدْ أَبَى, has refused to go to paradise. That's how simple sunnah is. Obedience leads you to paradise. Disobedience takes you to be rejected from entering into paradise. وَقُولُوا قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ لَلِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيلِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تمسك بسنته ليوم الدين. أما بعد, فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Follow me, follow the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah will love you. And as we find that Ibn Kathir, inside his tafsir, he mentions that it's not just about you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَيْسَ الشَّأْنُ أَن تُحِبَّ إِنَّمَا الشَّأْنُ أَن تُحَبْ. As somebody mentioned this inside the works of tafsir, it's not something great that you love. What is great, what is to be recognized, is that you are loved.
So when Allah says, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ, Allah gives us far beyond what we can imagine, that Allah will love you. And that is one of the, if not the greatest achievement on the face of this earth. That's inside the hadith that we find Imam Qurtubi mentioned in his tafsir. He narrates this hadith from Sahih Muslim. إِنَّ اللَّهِ إِذَا حَبَّ الْعَبْدَ نَادَى جِبْرَئِيلِ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a servant, He calls Jibreel alayhi salam and tells to Jibreel alayhi salam, I love إِنِّي أُحِبُّ فُلَانِ. I love such and such individual. Jibreel alayhi salam goes and announces it to the rest of the angels. Then it's brought down to the whole of this earth. And Kabul is placed for that person on this earth. But what is the beginning? That Allah loves this individual. Have we ever thought, pondered and sat down inside our lives? Does Allah love me? Does Allah love me for what I do inside my life? Am I being recognized by Allah? Allah recognizes all of us. But do we نَشْعُرْ بِذَلِكْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا? Do we feel that inside our hearts and our mind? That I have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon me, shrouding me, covering me, protecting me wherever I go. That's why a person, the more that they delve in the remembrance of Allah, sometimes we can't see because we're living in a world we want to see certain things. Allah protects His servants. As we mentioned, وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ, is merciful. We can't see certain things and the protection is always there. Via what? Certain ayat of the Quran. Whether it be ayatul kursi, the end of Suratul Baqarah. Person who's constant in these ayat, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They come into this protection. So we don't have to physically always see this protection. And then I will believe when Allah shows me He's protected me. Allah is protecting us every single day. And we can't see it. مُعَقِّبَاتٌ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. There are protectors all around us, between us, in front of us, protecting us in His journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places His love, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. It's not just love of iman. Allah says, وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Allah beautifies it inside your heart. That's when you know there's iman. That's when iman, when وَقَرَّ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوكَ وَالْإِسْيَانِ. That when you see disbelief, kufr, sins, vices. You know, as a side point, we shouldn't despise people when they disobey Allah. It's the kufr. It's the action. It's not the person. It's not the individual. It's not the personality. It's the action that becomes despicable to the person. Because sometimes many of these despicable actions can be done by whom? People that we love. People that we're close to. You know, and that could hurt a person even more. That's why, because we don't understand the words of Allah, that we rebel in a wrong way. We rebel towards our parents. That maybe they do something wrong and we go to extremities. Well, maybe they may disobey Allah, but commandments, injunctions are there. وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ وَلَا تَنَهْرَهُمَا. The Quran says, don't even say uff to them. Don't even say that word. Don't tat. Don't stutter. Don't make a sound about your parents. And we face that many times, that people come and say, I'm not speaking to my parents because my father done this or my mother done this. You know, it's mind-boggling at times. Because as we began with, because we're so extreme in our understanding. Maybe certain love we have towards them. But we should be balanced. That the suburb, the reason why you're on the face of this earth is via your parents. If it wasn't your parents, you wouldn't be in existence on the face of this earth. So you need to find that equilibrium, that balance, that merciful, that compassion inside ourselves towards the people that we love towards us. That's why Imam Qurtubi mentions that this love, Hubbullah subhanahu alamatu Hubbullah. What is a symbol of love of Allah? It's Hubbul Quran. It's love of the Quran. Uhibbu salihin wa lastu minhum. I love the righteous people, but I'm not from amongst them. But perhaps just by being around them, that Allah may forgive me and may pardon me. That's the speech of Allah. That maybe some of us, we can't read the book of Allah. We can't recite it. But I like to just listen to it. I like to just ponder over the verses. That maybe just listening to the Quran, that maybe it may eventually penetrate me and penetrate my life and penetrate that yearning within my own self to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the more we began, we stay away from the Quran thinking, you know, I'm a sinful individual. Why should I listen to the Quran? Why should I read the Quran? When I do these things inside my life, we all do these things inside our life. But perhaps one day that reading may awaken us. May bring us out of that sin, bring us out of that vice, make us better individuals.
وَذَكِّرْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مَنْ يَخَافُ وَعِيدِ. Remember Allah via the recital of this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا هُوَ عَلَامَةُ حُبُّ الْقُرْآنِ. Imam Qurtubi mentioned, what is the symbol of the love of the Qur'an? It's حُبُّ النَّبِي. It's love of the Prophet alayhi salam, who's given the Qur'an. What is عَلَامَةُ حُبُّ النَّبِي? What is the symbol of the love of the Prophet alayhi salam? Is حُبُّ السُنَّة. Is love of the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Then he says that all of these, what's the symbol of all of this? Is عَلَامَةُ is حُبُّ الْآخِرَة. Is the love of the Akhira inside the heart of the individual overrides all these things inside their life. And then we find, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ رَحِيمُ. Allah will forgive you your sins. That's the benefits of belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the thamarat, the fawaid. Allah will forgive your sins. Allah will love you. And then Allah concludes and mentions, وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ رَحِيمُ. Allah here doesn't mention, وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. There's certain names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed inside the Quran, rightfully placed in certain passages, but here Allah concludes, وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ. He doesn't say, وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. As some ulama, they discuss, he doesn't place that here. He doesn't place that, he plays وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ كَأَنَّهُ يعني الْبَابُ لِدُخُولُ غُفْرَانُ اللَّهُ, as if it's a door for you to come to gain the forgiveness of Allah. That come towards that. Come towards it, you'll find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one that will forgive and pardon the individual. أَنَّهُ كَثِيرُ غُفْرَانُ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِمَنْ تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيْهِ بِالطَّاعَةِ. He's going to be one of غُفْرَان, pardoning and forgiveness, whoever comes towards him via ta'a and obedience and comes towards him via following the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq and ability to understand this verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. To become amongst those individuals who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and display that love in our obedience firstly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then to the sunnah and the teachings of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam.